session number 11032, rule 1.
Mr. Gehring, Reel 1. And if I could ask you, first of all, Mr. Gehring, about your life before you went into the Navy.
Yes.
Could you tell me where you were born and brought up?
I was born at 12 Brattle Street, East Greenwich. And then I went to Christchurch School, a church school, and I stayed there till 1908, till I was 14. And I'm so pleased at the present moment they've altered the church because I had my diamond wedding there. And I was pleased going to the church school because I knew the old prayer book. I'm speaking of my generation, and it was nice to know all the prayer book when I was in 1908. I went to the church school when I was 5, so I was 1899, and I paid a penny a week. And then I went up into the big boys. I wasn't a very good scholar because I was water mad, and my father used to take me on his barge, and I knew all the river, I knew all the wharves each side of the river, I knew all the different tugs, because there was any petrol, and there was a lot of rowing barges about, and what I've done in my rowing, I've rowed a 50-ton barge loaded with 40-ton of powder in it from Tower Bridge right down to Barking. And I've took the barge right up to Barking Town to grow Sherwoods and Hills with 42-ton of powder for the works. And these sweeps what you had are 20 foot long, and they're the things I'd done, and I knew the river well because of my father going about with him from when I was about 8. And then after I had 2 years in a sailing barge like that, the Mayflower.
Where was that when you were on the sailing barge?
That was in 1910, when my father apprenticed me.
That was still in the same area, was it?
When I was on the sailing barge, the first thing we used to do, we used to take all the manure down to Kent, Maidstone, Faversham, Rochester, and all the Essex men used to take it down, but Essex men never come over to Kent men. And Kent men never went over to, only with the manure, that's all. And the different boroughs gave it to you, the manure, because it was better than wasting it. You know what the old-fashioned, how economical my mother and father and all that generation was, the old Victorians.
This is very interesting, because, of course, you say there was no engines. I suppose with the motor car there weren't cars. This manure came from the horses.
This come from all the mews all over London, and they was choked with it. And you went to the nearest, we called them vestries, and you went to the, now say we took sand from, say loaded the sand at Isle of Grain, that's opposite Sheerness. And we'd row, we'd sail the barge right up to Limehouse. When we got to Limehouse, we'd lower the gear, and then we'd wait for another lighterman who knew what it was like going up through the bridges. And he'd come down with his dinghy. Every barge had a dinghy. It was a small boat. And you never rowed it, you sculled it. And that was all our boys could do it. And when he come down, me and my captain was a Ramsgate man. And we'd go forward and we'd do rowing and do everything he told us. And when we got up to say, you've got 5 shillings, the man got, for going, if he only went up through one bridge, he'd get 5 shillings. And if he went right up to Hammersmith, all he got was 5 shillings. That's how they worked. And when the barge was empty, then we'd go under one of the vestries and load horse manure. Instead of going down for sand, cement and bricks empty, we'd take that down with us. And the Essex men were very good. They used to fetch a lot of straw and hay up. They used to do that. We used to do it as well, but they were some professionals at it. And that's how I carried on till 1912. In 1912, you go up to the Waterman's Hall for your licence. And when you get your licence, you can take a 50-ton barge about that carries 50 ton. You can take that about and single-handed. You are in charge of it. And then anything over 50 ton, you go with a man and he teaches you. And that's how I served my time right up to 1914.
Yeah, before you go into the war, I think this is very interesting, this early period.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Well, was it a very hard life? You know, you were saying you had control of this.
Oh, yes. It was an hard life. It was an hard life. But you knew your duty. And you woke up at all hours. And you had a sailing barge. You had a good cabin. You had to keep it spotlessly clean, and you polished the stove up, and it was all mahogany down there. It was very, very nice. And then you'd done all the cooking forward, where all the sails was and where you keep everything there. And that's if the captain brought his wife aboard or anything like that, I would go forward. And one day we come to Greenwich, and when we was loading Breeze, it would just tell you how we worked, and we was going to Southend with it to make Breeze blocks. And when this is in the sailing barge, my first trip in the sailing barge, and I believe my father spoke to the captain and told him what kind of a man I was, you know, because I've never swore in my life. Not because I'm boasting, but it's the way I brought up with my mother. And being on the water, that's unusual. And he was very good to me, the captain was. And we go down with this barge of Breeze to Southend. When we go into Southend, he said, Jack, he said, I'm not going in, he said. It's blowing too hard. So we went across the river. And when we went across the river the other side, we was all right. He said, I didn't get no grub. He said, I was going to get it at Southend. So it's the first time I had no food, a day and night. We was 2 days like that till the wind abated. And when the wind abated, we went over to Southend and done our job. And then when we was empty, the next job we done, we had to go down to the Isle of Grain to load sand. And on my way down, he said, go foreign and never look at it. We had a fair wind. I had to look at boys. I had to look at anything. I was foreign. And I was getting sopping wet through. He said, put the spinnaker around you. That's another sail you have. And it was loose down the cap, down the forecastle. I went up and got it up, and I put that round me and kept me dry. And then we got down, and then that's about about all the jobs I can tell you about now.
Well, was it dangerous, the River Thames, then? You know, and the sort of
well, first of all, in them days, all the pilots of the river and all the tug captains of the river, everybody knew what the other man was doing. You learnt that as you went along. You learnt it. You knew everything like that. And when you was making a tack, all the ships, the pilots would ease up and let you clear your tack, and all the tug captains would. So you went straight through. And then in 1930, I had a go at it then, and I just wanted to see what it was like. And a chap come to Greenwich, and he had a sailing barge, and he was going down to the Medway somewhere. And so I said, and he had no mate, so I said, well, I'll be your mate. I said, I'll have a look, see how it is. And I got hold of the wheel, and I'm coming down there, and I'm making a tack. And a ship's coming down. He said, you're out of tack again, you can't go right through, because they did not know. The ships did not know how to navigate. So it was entirely different. They were just as good a men of us, but it was a strange, another way of working. So that's about all my civilian life.
Well, that's very interesting, and I'm glad you've told me about that.
Well, I'll tell you why I've told you all that. I'm glad, because it's going to be very interesting when I went in the Second World War. And this is what I've saved to show you. I intended to say it, hoping that you'd allow me to say all this, because I had the sailing barges. And as a photo of them.
Before the war broke out in 1914,
yeah.
Did you have any idea, were there any signs that there might be a war?
Oh, yes, there were signs. I knew in 1913 the way the world was going, and I was 19. And I knew how the world was going, and I thought to myself, you know, and in 1914, when the war came along, I thought to myself, well, I'm going in the Navy. I think I'll be more useful in the Navy. And I go up to the embankment, and there's an RNVR ship up there, and they'd done away with it, and I went over the water to near Blackfriars, and they had an oil there, and I went in the oil there, and I told them I'd like to join the RMVR, so they said, all right, and they got a doctor, and I passed the doctor, and they sent me to Crystal Palace. And when I was at Crystal Palace, there was, in my mess, I was in 14 mess there, and we used to go down in the grounds and do all our square bashing. And then we used to march all the way to Epsom Downs, and for marching, they put me in what they call the Bembo battalions. They was all different admirals, and they was all called after the admiral's name. I was in the Bembos, and whilst I was in the Bembos and going through all that, they created a balloon section, and they asked people to go in it. So I put my name down, and I went in the balloon section. And when I went in the balloon section, we went up the balloons to listen for Zeppelins when they come over. And when the Zeppelins come over, we'd telephone down and tell them we can hear it, and we'd tell them the directions.
Could you tell me something about the balloons?
The balloons wasn't like they had in the Second World War. They was the old-fashioned ones, like that style, with a basket at the back. And we had sand there, and we was told what to do if the wire broke, what was holding us down. We went up, I suppose, about 500 or 600 feet, or perhaps more, and then after you'd done your time in there, perhaps you'd have 4 hours in there, and they'd leave you down. And
whereabouts were they, the balloons? Were they all over London, or just in certain parts?
Just stationed in Crystal Palace, that's all. Just stationed. And we had a room there so that we could sleep and everything like that. And then we had to go in for examination. And we had, in the balloon section, there was a lot of apprentices from great big sailing ships, far advanced to me, because they could all read mathematics. And I could not. I only left in Standard 5, so I was out of it. So what they done with me, they sent me up to Scotland, where the Grand Fleet was at the River Forth.
Yes, before you tell me about that, could I just ask you a few more questions about Crystal Palace?
Yes.
First of all, the Crystal Palace itself, what was it like?
Oh, it was beautiful. We lived like fighting cocks. We had lions. Do you know the lions in London? They were the cafeteria, they fed us. And all the great big men come there. It was full of great big men there. One man there, I forget his name, he wrote a lot of poetry. And he got burnt when we got out the Dardanelles, and he died and he's buried out there.
Would that be Rupert Brooke?
That's it. And we say he's saying at every meeting, we shall not grow old as they are left grow old. Age will not weary them, nor the years condemn. And at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Then all the soldiers and sailors say that we will remember them. We say that at every meeting. Well, then Crystal Palace, it was huge. They come from all over England, all up right, Scotland as all. They come from everywhere. And in my mess, there was a lot of Americans there. I don't know whether they was on holiday, or I don't know whether they come over, I don't know. But it was about, so there was 14 in the mess, so there was 6 Americans. And we got on with them all right. And then I'll carry on with where I was when they sent me to the Firth of the Forth. And when I went up there, they put me to sort out the letters that was going to the Grand Fleet, the Lion and Tiger and all them men. And when I was there, when I was doing that, I thought myself, I don't like that. So they put me down below, and I was pretty happy, because I'd done the cooking for all the men. I was a good cook, being on a barge, and I cooked the vegetables and meat and everything. And then I thought to myself, I'm wasting my time here. So I wrote over to my father, and I told my father to send me indentures up, you know, that my knowledge on the river. And from there, he sent them up, and I requested to see the Admiral, the fleet. And the Admiral said, And as it happened, there was a great big oil tanker come round from Chatham. It carried the lubricated oil, and it was my job to oil the Tiger and Lion and all that when they wanted it. I thought to myself, this is just up to my street. And I carried on there, and then a civilian done away with me, and they sent a civilian man to do it. And I went out, and they sent me back to Chatham. So I lost all that job of being in the Bembo battalion. And I went to Chatham, and then they sent me to, Devonport. And at Devonport, I joined a ship called HMS Theseus. There was five of them ships out there. There was the Edgar, Theseus, Grafton and Endymion. And the Edgar was the flagship. And when we got there, we got hold of a Monica with a 15-inch gun. And she was a very slow ship, so we towed her. And we towed her, and going through the straits of, I'm forgetting names, we were going to where the water's very high and the weather's very bad. And we're going round to Gibraltar. But before we got there, there's this bad bay.
The Bay of Biscay.
And when I was coming to Bay of Biscay, I see this great, what was my first experience at deep sea, I see this great big wall of water. And then we was about 60 feet away from the Monica, and it broke. But we'd never done none. We all the broken wire in, they hauled it in, and we went to Gibraltar and waited for them. And when we was at Gibraltar, we coaled and provisions. And we waited for the Monitor to come. And she come round, and then we started again, and I think our next stop was at Malta. And when we got at Malta, we coaled again, and the Monitor coaled, and we towed her right to Gallipoli. And when I got to Gallipoli, we put her in a one-ness on-ness or something like that. It's about, I suppose, 10 miles from Gallipoli, a big island, with a big bay, and we put her in there.
Was that Mudros?
Eh?
Was it Mudros?
No, that's a long, long way away, Mudros. It's right near the island. And I can't remember the island. It's a small island, uninhabited. And we put all our ships in there. We put the whole fleet in there. So it's big. And then we went out. Before that, I must tell you, in March, the 4th of March, there was the Queen Elizabeth and some great big ships there, and they started firing with their 15-inch guns to Asia Minor, but it done no good. It was useless. All it done is took up the dirt, and they all went back to Mudros when we got there. And when we got there, it was about the 25th, when the Australians was there.
25th of what month was that?
The 25th of April.
Yes. Did you, before you went to Gallipoli, when you set sail, were you told where you were going and what you were going to do?
Yes, we knew we was going to Gallipoli. The captain had us all down and he told us where we was going. The ship we was towing was called the Robert E. Lee. And when it got out to Gallipoli, it was called the Ragland. And there was two ships then in the Black Sea called the two German ships, the Dresdner or some, I forget the two names of them. And when we evacuated it, that we left her to sink these two ships because she had 15-inch guns, but they sunk her. And then going back to it, after we left her going and she was moored up in the bay, we went along the coast, and I think it's one of the hardest battles that's ever been fought, because when you go to fight, if you went to fight in France, you had a great big country to get land on, but you had no landing at all. You was going straight to a mountain that can see everything, and it was very, very difficult. And directly we got round there, the first thing I knew that we went round there, we went in too far, landed with not bullets, but
a shell.
Yes, but it come down in bits.
Shrapnel.
That's it. And we got the shrapnel, and they put me number two at a gun, and I never see a gun before. I was number two, breech work. It couldn't be no higher. I'm next to the captain of the gun, number two. But anyhow, I bluffed my way and kept my mouth shut, and we got on. And then the captain was wise. He was called up, and all my ship's company were all men who'd done 12 years, like that man you see me photograph, or 20 years, some had been in the yacht, some had been coast guards, so I was with a fine lot of men. And there was only five like me, RNVR men, and this RNVR men, they all knew how to work the Lewis gun. And they took it granted that I looked the Lewis gun, but I never had to do it, as luck happened, because I didn't know nothing, because you can see how I went in there. And then we went down, and I can't give you dates, but while we was there, we landed the East Yorkshire, 400 of them there was of them. There was perhaps putting some in other ships, and these 400 East Yorksmen were going to land them at dawn, not in the daylight. And every stoker and every sailor had to look after two of them, wash them, see they shaved, see they, and we gave them our hammocks, and we laid rough, and see they had a good meal. And rum and everything, and that made them happy. And then that's my first experience, I know. And we went as far as we dared go in, and they put me a gangway down the gangway where the men are coming. And while the soldiers are all walking down with one got shot by a sniper, and he screamed out and carried on because he was in pain. And I shut him up. I said, "You're frightening all the others, see?" I was frightened myself. And I took him up to the sick bay, and he did shut up. I said, "You put up with the pain." I said, "You're frightening all your mates." So they was all in a terrible state. And then we landed them. And that's one thing.
Have you any idea where that beach was? What part?
Oh, it was right up near the peninsula. It wasn't in, wasn't further back. Not. There, and we pick up a terrible bombardment there. And I think that's the time when we got all the shells up top and we got all our boats smashed up and all up top smashed up, and we was in such a state, we packed up fighting and we went back to Malta for repairs.
Yes. Before you tell me about going back to Malta, you know, when you were landing the East Yorks, as you've described, yes, so well, was there much fire against them when they were landing? Could you see?
No, it was dark. No, I didn't see no fighting at all. All I know is that we had a raft, and I went ashore with a 5-inch gun.